you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
I mean, you guys are the best team in Chicago. Everybody knows that. We all know that the afternoon show is not afraid of anything, really. Yeah. But
afternoons on the Score.
Gilgeous Alexander driving in the lane with his spit on Kobe. Inside feed to Giddey with the right hand and layup. It's 108-107 Bulls with 14.8 left timeout. Bulls, my goodness.
And goes left quarter Baisley. Open three, way off the mark. Rebound, Javonte Green. From behind, the ball poked from behind it, stolen by Kendrick Williams. And a three, way off the mark. Offensive putback good with a flip with the right hand by Giddey.
That's a tough one, yeah, right there. Is. Great rebound by Javonte, but he brought it down around his waist.
93-85, Thunder.
Highlights courtesy of Right Here, Baby, on the Score and the Bulls Radio Network. In 2022-23, Josh Giddey of the Oklahoma City Thunder averaged 16.6 points per game, almost 8 rebounds per game, and more than 6 assists per game at the age of 20 in the NBA. All of the numbers went down a little bit. 12-6-4 last year for Oklahoma City as Shai Gilgeous-Alexander stepped up and became an MVP candidate. The Thunder faltered in the playoffs. Josh Giddey fell out of the rotation, and now extension eligible, the Thunder have given up on a 21-year-old playmaker and traded him to the Bulls for Alex Caruso. Let's discuss with our guy Joe Cowley from the Chicago Sun-Times. He joins us on the Circus Sports Illinois Hotline. Download the Circus Sports app today. What do you make of this trade, Joe? Thanks for the time on a breaking news day.
I love it if the plan is to make sure that you have that 25 draft pick, because that's what kind of deal this feels like. It feels like you're going to take a step back, whether it's done purposely or it's done because of finances, and you are going to hope that this young developmental player can cover up the holes that were exposed, especially in that Dallas series that cost him a rotation, like you said. And if it takes a year to do that and you're not a very good team and you ensure yourself of that 25 draft pick, I'm okay with it if that's the plan.
The details on the 25 Bull, you're talking about the Bulls draft pick, the Portland pick that is protected?
I'm talking about the San Antonio, the top 10 protected that goes to the Spurs. They need to do whatever it takes to make sure they keep that pick. If you are making sure that you are a top 10 team and keeping that pick and then, you know, shoving it to 26 or 27, where I think it goes to 14 protected, then I'm all about it, because then you got a young guy who's still 21, who, you know, financially, who knows what you could do with him because of the way his season ended at OKC. You know, I'm guessing it's going to be Bulls business as basketball as usual, where they let him go to the market, see what the market sets a price on, and then decide to match or not. And if that makes you take a step backwards to ensure you keep that 25 draft pick, I'm all for it. You know, it's a gamble, because to me, when you keep Alex Caruso, you keep a guy around that culturally is all about winning. It doesn't mean that that's what happened with him there, but that's his mindset. And so that kind of automatically seems to always push you out of that top 10. So, you know, you can't, if this is the direction you're going, you have to have that 25 draft pick. That's how strongly I believe in this class, and a lot of other teams believe in this class. And sources have told me in the Bulls that as much as they dangled out there, there were multiple picks, but it was all 24. There was not one 25 first round pick offered, no matter what the player that was dangled out there at the trade deadline. So people are holding on to those for a reason.
So the 2025 draft believed to be a lot better than 2024. The Bulls draft pick,
yes.
If they pick between 1 and 10, they get to keep it and own it. If it drops down to between 11 and 30, it goes to the San Antonio Spurs. So all around right. The league, Ryan, teams are prioritizing keeping the picks in next year's draft. That means a tank season for the Chicago Bulls?
Well, that explains a little bit more than why you're getting giddy and rather than dumping Caruso for a bunch of high picks, because if Joe, you're telling us that teams aren't sitting there. I mean, Oklahoma City has a ton of picks, but they're not floating 25 because everyone is so high on the class. That makes more sense to take a somewhat of a risk, higher reward player in return for a guy like Caruso, correct?
Yeah, and if it takes a year step back,
right?
Because you don't know what's going to happen with Lonzo Ball. Although this kind of tells me that as much as Lonzo is tweeting out and showing his workouts, that medically the Bulls kind of know that this is still a big, big time long shot. Lonzo Ball has a lot of money on the line that he has to make sure. You know, he can collect fully, and also, you know, he's going to be a free agent after next season. He has to show something to get that next contract. So, of course, he's going to be overly optimistic about where he is. Both sides, though. Ball side, the Bulls side, I've talked to multiple people. He has not played 5-on-5 live scrimmage with full physicality, and that's still not going to happen until August. So this kind of tells me that, look, we don't have a playmaker. You know, Kobe White did some amazing things, but at the end of the day, you still need a playmaking, push the ball up the court, kind of poor man Lonzo Ball, and that's what Josh Giddey is. He's not the defender Lonzo Ball is, and he's obviously not the corner three specialist that Lonzo Ball has become, but there is still a lot of promise in what he does, high IQ, sees the floor really well. I think he was their second leading rebounder, so positionally, he does give you size at the point guard spot to go and get rebounds and do things. So there is, I'm not totally just crapping on Josh Giddey, but just on the surface, if you're looking at it as a Bulls fan and saying, what did we get from this trade? Well, what you got is a year to step back and ensure yourself of keeping that 25 draft pick. That's how you have to think about it if you want to be logical in this.
Well, you talked about the culture impact of Alex Caruso, and I think that's everyone knows league-wide. Every GM in the league and coach wants Alex Caruso, but then there's this kind of dark cloud that comes with Josh Giddey with the investigation that he's been cleared of any wrongdoing with the underage girl, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
How does that, I mean, you got a good coaching staff in place, a veteran coaching staff, and you know Billy Donovan was a part of this trade. How does that look in terms of what you're selling? You're talking about taking the step back and the message, but you're also giving up maybe the culture guy in Caruso for a guy that comes with some baggage and Giddey.
Yeah, you know, I mean, look, we're in a forgiving culture, especially right. When the league investigated this so intensely. I mean, sure. the league did, the team did. I mean, this was looked at by many mirrors, and this was not just – you know, he said, she said. They really, really looked into this thing to make sure that, especially in, you know, Oklahoma City, people have to understand, you know, before their games, they say a prayer. I mean, that's what they do. There's the prayer and then the national anthem. So it's a different culture there. So it was looked at very closely. And, you know, I think that's kind of, you know, there might be some people that still hold on to that and stuff, but I think, you know, league-wide, I think that's kind of been, you know, passed along. And like I said, this on the surface, you just can't look at it as an A for a B. There's more going on here, and I think they are building the team knowing that there is more going on here or rebuilding the team and knowing that this is just kind of the first domino. You know, I just talked to someone about an hour ago, and they're pretty excited with the LaVine trade market compared to where they were at the end of the season, just because some teams are now starting through back channels to understand that they will not be involved in the coveted free agents, whether it's Klay Thompson or Paul George, and the writing's on the wall for a couple of these organizations that those guys aren't going to go there. So the only way they can get a two-time All-Star there is through a trade. And so Zach LaVine's value on the trade market might be a little better, which to me was almost zero, than expected. That doesn't mean expect anything. You're still getting pennies back,
right,
for a dime, but that's okay. Like I said, this is done with intent. They feel pretty good about what they can get at 11 in next week in the draft, and they feel really good about making sure they hold on to that 25 draft pick and seeing where they fall once the lottery hits.
There's more specifics to talk about with Joe Cowley from the Sun-Times. You're listening to Parkins and Spiegel on the Score, but let's zoom out and expound on what you just said. They've turned down the opportunity to unload Zach or Vooch or DeMar at multiple trade deadlines and now for multiple off seasons. And it has been enraging to watch them try and squeeze their way into the playoffs and get themselves a round or two, perhaps. They have failed 2 years in a row. They tried, clearly, to make the playoffs and failed 2 years in a row. But now they're done, and this is the pivot. This appears to be the big pivot that a lot of us have been expecting or demanding during those deadlines and off seasons. This appears to be the pivot, finally.
Yeah, and the problem is their assets have all dropped in value now. So if they would have done it when their assets were at their highest value or before...
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Where they reinvested in those assets, they would have been in a lot better position to make this pivot, where you're not having to take steps back because you unloaded your 25 draft pick, or you're not having this big boulder of the Zach LaVine max contract if you would have realized, you know, one-dimensional two-guard doesn't work and maxing that guy doesn't work, so let's trade him at his highest value after the Team USA, after he came back from that and before he went into the max contract year. So, that's the frustration that I think the media and the fan base has, is it's always been too late on every one of these players. I will say the Caruso one, you know, they could have gotten first and second-round picks for the 24 draft class. If they would have traded Caruso at the deadline, that's not what they wanted, and that's what a lot of teams are willing to give up for a reason, because the 24 draft class is full of landmines. And you could hit at 15 or 18, and that might be the best player in the draft class. And that's why it's a frustrating class, because you have to look at a lot of Euro tape, and you have to look at a lot of college one-and-dones of guys that were overcoached and in overcoached systems, and you have to hope you hit on a guy. So, you know, number one is no different than 18. So a bunch of teams throwing that around for Alex Caruso at the trade deadline, I get why they held off on that one. It just doesn't make sense. So, but yes, they've held on to way too many players for way too long and watched their value all come crashing down.
What does this trade say about the future of DeMar DeRozan with the Bulls? I know there's been both sides have said, like, we love each other and we see a fit, but, you know, does DeMar at this point in his career want to play for a team that's taken a step back?
I think it definitely reconfigures his mindset, because if you look at the way he would talk about Alex Caruso the last month of the season, smartest player I've ever played with, biggest heart I've ever played with, and you're 35 years old and that's now been taken from you, you really have to rethink. Well, I want to come back there to play babysitter. Am I going back there for the payday of playing babysitter, or do I want to now try, while I'm still playing at a very high level and in great shape and led the league in minutes, do I now want to go for a ring? The very thing that I always stayed away from chasing and had problems with guys that were chasing it and guys that took loyalty and threw it out the window, do I now follow suit? And I wouldn't blame him one bit. I mean, when you change the pieces on the chessboard, you can't expect him to sit back down and play that same game. You know, I mean, it's different now. And so I definitely think this will have him rethink his mindset and the idea of, yeah, I'd be willing to do this deal, a 2-year with an option, or do I want to go and actually try doing something bigger for my legacy?
Man, he's been so honorable mm-hmm. every step of the way.
Yeah, he is, isn't he?
He really is. He really is. He's impressive. He's honorable. And he has been willing to be that OG and age gracefully for a decent team and get his points, and pad the career stats, but also be trying to win.
And take Patrick Williams over on his shoulders, 100%. On his back, and take him to L.A. 100%. And train with him.
And I mean, not just him. I mean, you know, going down to Illinois to watch Io get his jersey, and the way he's dealt with Io and Kobe, and having all those guys come out to Los Angeles and train with him and go through his hell week. Dalen Terry, you know, he used to joke around and say that's his stepson, and you know, I mean, I haven't been around a true. And you said it best, OG vet that actually cares about the players he's leaving behind and passing the torch gracefully and not doing it out of jealousy. And look, the bottom line is, last shot, he still feels like he's the cat that should have that, and the numbers say he's the cat that should have that. But he tried. He tried giving it to Zach 2 years ago.
Yes.
It just wasn't working. It's not Zach's DNA. And and you saw him at the end of the year giving it to Kobe and letting Kobe be that finisher. So he wants guys to succeed, even if it costs him end-of-the-game heroics, because he's not about that. But when he feels like he has to do it or that guy doesn't want it, he's going to take it. So, I haven't been around, you know, this would be year 13 or 14. I have not been around a guy on a daily basis like that. And I would probably have to say, even going back to White Sox days, a locker room guy, maybe Jim Thome, is a guy that actually really cared about everyone else's success and helping guys and talking to guys about things. I mean, shoot, my first year, Albert Bell was hiding his note cards on all the players in his locker. And if anyone went near it, including his teammates, he'd break their hands. So, you know, I mean, dudes are really they say that they're not selfish, but a lot of athletes are really selfish as far as sharing knowledge and actually wanting guys to succeed. And DeMar's, he's something.
Man, I love that. I love the cross sport comp, of course, because it's the same kind of character we're talking about. Now I find myself hoping for DeMar to like sit down, look at the options, find that team that needs him as their third scorer or sixth man if he's willing. And my goodness, that dude would be an unbelievable fit for a lot of contenders. Joe, so how far is this going to go? You think this means a match for Patrick Williams eventually? Like, if there is a Zach trade and there is a DeMar exit, which all seems entirely possible, what are the other pieces that would make sense to stay?
I think the most sure thing right now is Patrick Williams. I don't think they want to give up on him yet. I think they saw enough from him last year. And also you have the specter of what Kobe White did in that, you know, when everyone was about to kind of give up on him and they said, no, let's, you know, we know he's a worker. You know, Patrick Williams is a worker and he wants to succeed. I just don't, he's not wired like Kobe White. But they're both workers. They're both first guy in, last guy out type mentality. He doesn't have the aggressiveness during game that Kobe White does. So I'm not saying they're the same guy, and so you follow that same path. But what I'm saying is that was Arturas' first draft pick, and there would have to be something financially that would really make them go haywire to say, no, we did not expect the market to be set on P. Will at this price, and we're not going to match it. I think they're going to match almost everything because they don't want to give up on this cat yet. And they feel like he showed enough in the first half as far as defensively and his continued 3-point shooting where he is a threat and a player that you keep, a key piece you keep on the roster. He's not a core player, but he's a very nice supplemental piece that you have to keep and ride out to see if he does physically mature and mentally mature. So I think he's the for sure one that, like I said, unless some team comes from nowhere, which I don't foresee because of his injury history, I think he's the for sure. They're going to ride with him and on one more contract and see what he can give them.
Hey, man, we just watched the Celtics win a title with, what, seven of their top eight are legit two-way players, you know? It's like genuine dudes who can do everything. All right, last thing for you. Billy Donovan's willingness and appetite for what might be 1 year or 2 years down, if that's what they do.
You know, because he has such a relationship with the front office and has a say in personnel, I think he's fine with it. If it's dudes that he feels like, yeah, I want to coach that guy, and I don't care if he's 21 and he took a dip in his career and he has some baggage, you know, I want to coach that guy. There's things I like about his game. And so, I think because of how they listen to Billy and like they didn't in OKC where you're just the coach and just coach, I think it's different. He didn't want to do a rebuild with no say. I think he's okay with taking a step back with some say of guys that personally he would like to coach or feels like fit into what he wants to do. So I think it's a different animal. When I know people are bringing up the quote from OKC and the idea that the two separated because he didn't want to be part of a rebuild.
Right.
He didn't want to be part of that rebuild under those circumstances. So it's a little different.
Joe, thanks for the time, man. Appreciate it.
Thanks,
I'm going to choose to look at the positivity of the pivot. You know, it's again, might be ugly, might be a little bumpy, but it was time. Thanks, man. Have a great day.
It's all about Cooper Flagg at this point.
Joe Calley. See you, man. Joe Calley from the Chicago Sun-Times. Cooper Flagg, the big-time prospect at the top of the 2025 draft. Yay! Go, man. Blackhawks.
We root hard for the number one picks here.
Oh, dude, we're the best. Yeah. We're among the best that there ever
so
was.
So sick of lotteries.
All right, let me bookmark Tankathon one more time. Let me go ahead and do that. He's Ryan McGuffey. I'm Matt Spiegel. It's Parker and Spiegel on 670 The Score. There has been a debate raging among baseball humans, and I have not had this debate with Ryan McGuffey. I love talking baseball with you. Let's do it in regards to the greatest that just left us. We'll do that next before we get out of here. Oh, and I got candy stuff I got to go over with you before we get out of here at the top of the hour. Mark Rohde's after us. Keep listening to 670 The Score.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.